just thank you for your word. We thank you that it never returns to you void. And this morning we pray that it ministers to each and every one of us. Nobody should be left out, Lord. And we pray that you change something in us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Well, so we are doing the Red Letter Challenge, and how are we all going? Good, yes, it's exciting. So for those who have joined us, who are visiting us for the very first time, we extend a warm welcome to you, and we'll just give you a bit of background as to what the Red Letter Challenge is. It is actually the words that Jesus said, and in some Bibles, it's actually in red print. And during this journey, it's quite an interesting journey. We're not doing this challenge just because we feel like it, but it's really more trying to align our hearts with God's desire. What's God's desire for us? Amen. Wonderful. So the brief background to it is it's actually categorized in five stages, which is being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. And today I have the privilege of talking about serving. And it's the most interesting one, I suppose. I love serving because it really means you cannot choose not to. You cannot say it's not me. This one is for all of us. And there's a flaw in this whole challenge where when we are with Christ, which is the being that we've already done, we spend time with him and we want to make sure that we can express his love to the world around us. And we can only do that because we know we are forgiven. And so what's left is to go out and serve. We have to share God's love with other people. And in order for the ministry, in order for the word of God to go to other places, we all have to participate. And that is what service is all about. And each and every one of us has the ability to serve in one way or the other. We all have the ability to serve. But sometimes it doesn't feel like it's that exciting, or we all have reasons why we shouldn't and that sort of thing. And I remember when I came out to Real Life Church, I used to work on a Sunday because I was working night shifts and that sort of thing. I was working on Sunday morning shift. And then one of the ladies said to me, "You have been missing church a lot. What's happening?" And I told her I really needed to work on Sunday because the pay was good. And she says, "Have you ever asked God if he can meet that need so that you can make it to church on Sunday?" I thought, wow, that is bold. So I did. But instead, I had to work Saturday night. So I ended up working Saturday night, and for years, I would come straight from work, have a quick shower, and come to church. And you probably would have never noticed. I only stopped doing that last year. So for a good 6 years, I came from night shift straight to praise and worship. And as if that wasn't enough, they decided they wanted to have two services back to back. When I'm feeling, okay, I'm already exhausted enough, let's just go through the first service. I need to go home and catch up with my sleep. They added a second service. And on some days, there was encounter service. So it meant I would not sleep the whole time until it's nighttime again, a good 24 hours. And you can imagine how much of a zombie I was. But you know, the funny thing is, through that time, I enjoyed serving. I really enjoyed it. It was difficult on the time and on the body, but I enjoyed every bit of it. I was blessed. Coming for praise and worship and all of that, I was still blessed. So I am encouraging you this morning. For now, during this service, set aside the negatives. Set aside whatever is inhabiting you from serving God. And let's focus on what Jesus says for us. And after that, we will pray and we'll ask him to rearrange our lives and make time for him. And everything else will fall into place. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So there is what is known as the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs in psychology. Now, the hierarchy of needs actually says that the first thing is our physiological needs, which is we need rest, we need food, we need shelter. Everybody has a need. And then the next one is safety. We all want to be secure. And then we need relationships in our lives. Then we need esteem. We need to achieve. We all that's why we all go to school or we get a job and that sort of thing. We want a place where we feel good. And then there's self-actualization. So you live life and then you feel, I think I've done it. But then over the years, they've revised this. In HR, they use this a lot. In psychology, they use this Maslow's hierarchy of needs a lot. But they've since realized that after all of that, people still feel inadequate. They still feel they've lived life. They've ticked all the boxes. They've checked out their bucket list. But they're still empty. And then they realize it's because everybody has got that desire to want to give. After the whole self-actualization, after the whole, I have done it, I'm impressed, the accolades, after all of that, you can never be fulfilled until you give back. So nothing will ever fulfill you more than when you serve others. So they have increased that. Now they have another step, which is actually called the transcendence, self-transcendence, which means sense of meaning. So after all your achievements, the reason why you feel empty is because there's no sense of meaning in your life. But God does tell us that we all have a meaning to our life, and that meaning can only be obtained when we serve. When you do something for somebody, how do you feel? I feel good. Am I the only one? Oh, I am the only one. I don't think so. That's how it is meant to be. We all are supposed to serve. So serving others brings us joy because as we serve others out of our new identity in Christ, we'll fulfill our God-given purpose. And that is God's mandate for our lives. And you could be thinking, okay, so why is this so hard to do? And that's partially because the society in which we live in today is so customer-oriented, where the customer is always right. So we've been told over and over, the customer is always right. So you find now even the adverts that they have are always talking about free this, free that, free delivery, free estimates, just to get you in, to come and get all the time. So they have money-back guarantee, they have things like, oh, you will get easy parking when you come to this place, or you don't have to put in a deposit, just come and get. So it has turned our minds to think all we have to do is go and get. And it's never give. And that's because of the society in which we live in. And God is challenging us this morning to remove that retail mindset, because it has started to come into the church as well, where we come into church and we want to get all the time. I know I've been to over 25 churches in my lifetime. And part of that is you don't get satisfaction, so you start to globetrot. You're trying a new one all the time. But then I realized, I think there's something wrong with this picture. Why am I not satisfied? I have something to criticize all the time because I'm not giving. If you become part of the process, you will understand why things happen the way they do. So I'm encouraging you this morning to do the same. It's okay to change churches for as long as you're still in church. However, maybe remove the consumer mentality in church and find a place within your heart to give instead. So don't miss out on the purpose of the church. While yes, we meet the needs of the people, if you are saved, your place in church is to serve, not to just come and receive. Amen? I'll go to a scripture in John chapter 4, and you will understand this a little bit more. Jesus is actually sitting by the well, and he meets this Samaritan woman. And it says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And they were thinking, how is this possible? What is Jesus talking about? And that's exactly what we see in the next verse where it says, then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And they didn't get it. So he answers back and he says, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And I encourage you to take this verse into your hearts as well this morning. Jesus is saying, don't just stand there and say, fill me up, Lord, fill me up, fill me. No, it's the other way. To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's God's mandate for us this morning. And we can only have that greater fulfillment in life when we start contributing rather than when we consume. If Jesus is wired to feel revitalized and re-energized by contributing, the same applies to us. We also have to do that and give back to our community. Over the week, I was watching Formula One, and I looked at, there's the pit crew. There's about 18, 19 people working on this car. And I think they have like 10 seconds to change all the tires. Yes, it is so super. 3, there you go, point of correction. 3 seconds to change those tires. So you can imagine, what's their attitude? Stick to the plan. Do your job and get out of it. There's no time to complain. There's no time to check somebody out. Do your job. Stick to the plan with 3 seconds to get out. And that's the same with us. We have to stick to God's plan. Each and every one of us has got that God-given plan. And you have to stick to yours in serving him, in contributing to the work of the church. Stick to yours and give back. In Exodus 19, God says to his people, the Israelites, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Praise God. He called them specifically to represent him for the sake of the rest of the world. And that's the same. God has called us to be his representatives while we are here on earth. Are we reflecting that by the love that we show to others, by our service to others? As we grow and obey God, he would make them prosperous, and many would see, and when they did, they would point all the glory to God. For us as well, it's not about being excellent at serving in your capacity. It is about giving glory to God. Amen. Somebody once said, imagine if you are the one who's sent out to minister to somebody else who's in need, and you said no. And that was their last day of life. That's what we're battling with. People are not saved. People are perishing before they've known Jesus. And as a church, our responsibility is to minister to them with all signs of love. Each one of us has a place to play in that. You might be cooking food. I love food. I don't know. You have your place, and you got to find out what God wants from you. 1 Peter 2 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. As his chosen people, be a true representative of him. Amen. Matthew 5 goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, your light shines before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. So let your light shine. Let your light shine so that others can also glorify God. And I love Real Life Church because we've been very good over the years at this. I remember how we turned this place around. People showed up and changed this place. They came in with their skills. Some were carpenters, some painted. We all did our part. Others just brought food for those who were working. Others brought coffees. Praise God for that. Because now this is a place for the community to come and find love. There is more that we can still do. We haven't finished yet. We haven't finished yet. So let's all continue to contribute. Let's all continue to contribute towards this. Each one of us has been given gifts by the Holy Spirit, which we need to find in our hearts. What, God, do you want me to do? Let's find that place, and then we can use our gifts efficiently in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to talk to the parents, and please hear me out. I'm saying this from a place of love. I am a parent too. I am edging you. Do not be the hindrance for your children to serve. The world is a busy place. I get that. I am busy too. Between sports, after school activities, I get that. Do not be a hindrance for your children to serve in church. Ask them instead, where would you want to serve? And guide them. That is our role as parents, to guide them. Perhaps they can be ushers and just warmly greet people at the door. Perhaps they can take the offering. There's all sorts of things that they can do. Perhaps they can come on a Saturday and help Ian straighten out churches. We all want to come to a beautiful church. We want to come to a clean church, but we don't know how that happens. Let's be part of the process. I love to have my tea and coffee after church. I love to have a meal after the second service. But people have to do the work. Let's do it together. I implore you, particularly parents, the world is selling a lot more stuff to them. A lot more is robbing them of their time. And the privilege for them to go beyond self-actualization and actually find meaning and purpose for their lives. I beg you, today, be intentional and have that conversation with your children. And ask them, where can you serve? It's not an option as a child of God to serve. It is a mandate. It is our DNA. If Jesus is for us and we want to see the kingdom of God prevail, we have to serve. I beg you. I beg you as parents. We have seen so many children go through youth. The moment they transition into big church, they walk away. And as parents, we're giving them that choice, that liberty. Let's have that conversation. What is going on? Perhaps they are not finding meaning in their life, which we all know it's a confusing stage. The only meaning they can have is when they start to give back. Praise God. Now, at this moment, I would want to also encourage the rest of us. We're heading into the busiest season of church, which is Christmas. And we have a lot of activities that happen during this time. Be a part of it. Do not be left out. We need more singers. We need more singers. Please join us. We are a lovely bunch. And you might think we are good at singing, Fritz. We're not. We just show up. And the glory of God takes over. It's all about consistency. We're not professional singers. The band is professionally trained and they have to deal with us. But they have been patient with us. So I'm encouraging you, perhaps you want to worship and praise God with us. Come and see us on Tuesday. We practice at 6:30. Join us. Be a part of our team. Perhaps you play an instrument as well. Come on Tuesday. We'll be happy to have you. We'd love to have our massive choir as usual every Christmas. So we'd love for you to join us as well. Wonderful. So as I conclude, I would love for us to have a look at our website as well. And the ushers also to take their place, because I do not want us to walk away and think through this. And I know things will happen. It's a long weekend. Some of us are going on holidays or whatever. And you will forget to make this commitment. Today, we are giving you that opportunity. There is so many ways in which we can serve. And I'm going to ask our ushers to take their place. We have these serve cards. There's also one on on our website. And what we would love for you is to just indicate a place in which you can serve. And maybe there isn't something that's on the card that you feel particularly led to do. Just pencil it down. Once you put your name on it, just pencil it down and indicate where your desire, where your passion is. You probably want to experiment on other things. We will hear you. We don't promise we'll do it, but we will hear you, because we have to be considerate. It is a church. It is a corporate body. But we will give you a place. Do not be robbed of the opportunity to serve God. So we want to give you that place today, every single one of us. Service is our DNA. We have a lovely bunch that comes on Wednesdays that serves our community. And some of them, if you've been to our Wednesday community service or the Friday community service, you will know that it's a bit different. It's a lot of unchurched people. But they are so organized. They volunteer, they put themselves together, and they do a lot of running around to make sure everything works the way it should. So if unchurched people can do it for the church, you have no excuse. Today I'm not giving you an excuse. I would love for us all to participate in serving God. And perhaps you will feel better when you get that thank you, when you get that testimony of how somebody was saved because of the little things that you did for them. To God be the glory. And as I finish, I'll read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, as you're signing those cards. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset. In some versions, it says, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have loved us. You have given us Jesus as your Son. And as we endeavor to walk in his footsteps, we pray, Almighty God, that you stir in us a hunger and a desire to serve you in practical ways. We pray that in this week you illuminate the gifts that you have given to us, that we can use them in your kingdom. We pray, Almighty God, that we will be able to see the needs of this world and meet them through you, so that your name will be glorified in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, and in the church. I pray, Almighty Father, that each and every one of us will find fulfillment serving you, will find enjoyment serving you, so that your name will be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray.